Well, today we're going to conclude our series that we've entitled Unwrapping the Gifts of the Spirit. Unwrapping the Gifts of the Spirit. It's been our expository journey, meaning our verse-by-verse journey, through 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. It's been a lively discussion. Hopefully, my prayer is, and I know God's heart is, that it's a life-giving discussion, because this is His Word that we're talking about, that we're studying, that we're allowing to impact us, and His Word doesn't return void. And so this is a life-giving study that we've been going through. And I'm believing that what's happening in each one of us as we've been going to God's Word and getting His perspective on the Holy Spirit gifts that He has for us, that we would be changing our perspective from one of fear and maybe intrepidation and wait and see with our arms crossed as we look at the gifts, to one of, man, this is beautiful. These gifts are not scary. These gifts are exciting. These gifts don't bring confusion, but they bring life when we embrace them and use them God's way. So that's been my prayer, and I believe that's God's heart for all of us too. And so I want to encourage you, as we're wrapping up today, that you don't just let it go in one ear and out the other, as they say, but continue to press into the gifts of the Spirit that the Lord has for each one of us. For it said in chapter 12 that there are varieties of gifts, and to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And we talked about how you are gifted. You are gifted. It's not just some sort of super Christian person who's gifted and then the rest of us just go to church and... No. You're a child of God. You're gifted. And you are needed. You and your gifts are needed for the body of Christ to thrive, for the body of Christ to be effective in our world the way that God wants it to be and the way that Jesus is worthy of us being effective. So you're gifted and you are needed. This morning, we're going to focus on one particular gift as we conclude this study, and it's the gift of tongues. Now, you would think that would be the one gift that we want to avoid, right? Because it seems to be the most controversial. But that's not the way we roll around here, and we're going to single this gift of tongues out because it is controversial. And we're going to talk about it because it is mysterious. However, it doesn't have to be controversial. And it doesn't have to be mysterious, because God's Word talks about it, discusses it quite a bit. And so we're going to let the Lord roll it out, remove the mystery, remove the controversy, and draw us into this gift called tongues that He has for us as His church. The title of today's sermon is Untangling Tongues. How many of you have ever been tongue-tied before? I'm going to share something a little personal here, but I'm actually officially tongue-tied. You know that little thing back there that connects your tongue to your mouth or whatever? You know, apparently I'm tongue-tied officially, but they wanted to cut it, and I'm like, if you do that, who knows what's going to come out of me? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? So, but anyway, some of us are even spiritually tongue-tied, and it's because maybe we don't understand this gift of tongues that we actually have. And so today we're going to wrap up this series with a sermon called Untangling Tongues, Removing the Mystery by Looking Biblically. So let's go to the Bible. We're going to be all over the New Testament, but a lot of it, again, is in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to God's Word for some clear insight on this gift called tongues. And we're going to begin with a biblical definition of the gift of tongues. And here it is. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit." So what is tongues? Here's the answer. Tongues is a gift from God that allows us to speak to God by the Spirit and in the Spirit. That's what tongues is. It's not for speaking to one another. It's a gift that allows us to speak to God in the Spirit and fueled by the Holy Spirit. So it's not coming out of our own effort, although we need to eagerly desire and step into it. Speaking to God in and through the Spirit. It's speaking out, it's uttering things, actually stuff coming out of our mouths, not just bouncing around in our minds, but things coming out of our mouths that sound mysterious in the natural because they're not originating from the natural, but they're originating from the Holy Spirit. And so tongues is really a heavenly language. It's a language given to us by the Holy Spirit, by God Himself. The gift of tongues is also thought of as mysterious because it's diverse in its use. You can't box it in. It doesn't only have one application to it. And so, of course, when there's multiple applications to something, it can be a little confusing and mysterious. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at five uses that we find in God's Word, five uses of the gift of tongues. And we're going to start to remove the mystery and fear, replace it with excitement and desire. We're not going to run from the things that God has for us. Rather, we want to run into the things that God has for us. God's Word says He has this gift for us. We're going to look at five amazing ways that it benefits us as believers. So we want to run into that, not run from that. As we untangle tongues, we discover this. Number one, the first use, that tongues is a form of spiritual prayer. Tongues is a form of spiritual prayer, 1 Corinthians 14. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. What is it when we speak to God? What do we call that? We call it prayer. So tongues is a form, it's a method of praying. It's a way to pray. It's a way to speak to God. It's a way to interact with the Creator of the universe. The one who knit you together in your mother's womb. That's a use of tongues. So I ask a question. You don't have to answer me out loud. It's a little rhetorical, but how many of you want to speak to God and to commune with Him more? All right, let's raise our hands. I want to. I want to speak to God and I want to commune with Him more and more and more. There's so much of Him. And I feel like I know Him so little. Oh, I know Him, but I know He's so big and He's so wonderful and He's so powerful. I want to know Him more. And so I need all the help I can get. And I want to take advantage of every single tool and thing that He has for me to be able to speak to Him more, to know Him more, to commune with Him more. So tongues is a vehicle that greatly enhances our prayer life. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Now, we talked about that last week. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And how many of you have experienced that when you commune with God, when you pray, when you have that moment where you're in the presence of God and you're interacting with Him, does that bring edification to you? Does that build you up? Oh, my goodness. Does it ever? And so prayer builds us up. And tongues is a way for us to increase or enhance our prayer life. And so tongues in and of itself then edifies us. It builds us up because it draws us into communion, into prayer, into interaction with God. That's how it edifies us and builds us up. Here's an example, and I've shared this several times before, how prayer can build us up. Now, I don't mean this in a flippant way. It's just reality, and I'm just real. Half the time on Wednesday nights, I don't want to go to Wednesday night prayer. And I'm the leader. All right? We started that prayer meeting way back, even before we planted the church. And it's going on. Started in our living room. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. It's our time to get together and pray, seek God, see what He wants to say, what He wants to do, pray in to get in His heart. And even in that, half the time, my flesh says, "Don't go. Stay at home. You had a bad day. Just, you know, sit in front of the TV and veg." That's what the flesh says, right? Even our heart sometimes says silly things like that. But we don't listen to our flesh or our heart. We go where God has called us to go. And so I go to prayer. Sometimes I strap on the guitar and lead worship. Sometimes others lead it. But we start praying. And man, about 30 minutes into that prayer meeting, I'm coming alive. I mean, I'm coming alive. And by 8 o'clock, now we're just talking an hour of my life. After an hour of my life, I'm like filled with God again. I don't want to go home and go to sleep. I don't want to go home and veg. I want to stay up till midnight. It drives my wife crazy. It's like, how do you come down off of that? How do you come down from the presence of God, from communing with Him, from being with your brothers and sisters and them getting words from the Lord and watching them pray for one another and God moving in people's lives? I mean, I've never done drugs, but that's got to be better than drugs. You know what I'm saying? It revives me. Prayer revives us. Being in the presence of God, knowing that you're with Him and that you're communing with Him, there's nothing like it. And tongues, Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, it edifies us because, as it said in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it allows us to speak to God in a whole new way, in the Spirit. And we get edified in that. Now, God has given us the gift of tongues. It builds up our prayer. But check this out. In the super long and lengthy book of Jude, you can turn there. Doesn't even have chapters, it only has verses, right? In Jude, verses 20 and 21, it says this, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith." Now, let me stop there. Stop reading. All right, just a second there. Notice what it says. We have to take action and build ourselves up. I was at a pastor's seminar conference yesterday. Wayne Cadero was there, and he was speaking to several of us just about health in ministry and longevity in ministry. And he said, you've got to fill yourself up. You've got to first take care of yourself, because the more healthy you are, the more you're going to have to give to others. We have to build ourselves up. Often you think, no, I'm just going to blaze through life, and God's going to build me up. Well, yeah, He is. But we have a part to play also. We have to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, it says in Jude 20. And then what does it say? How do we build ourselves up? Look at this connection. And pray in the Holy Spirit. We're called to build ourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. What is connected to building ourselves up in faith? What is connected to being stronger in the faith? What is connected to being able to walk through this life and not let the silly things of life take us out or take us down? This thing, this mysterious thing called praying in the Holy Spirit is connected with that. It's part of that. It's part of the formula. It's part of what God, how He's designed things. So praying in tongues builds us up, builds up our faith. It enhances our relationship with God. It's a tool that God has given us to more deeply commune with Him. Therefore, I think it's pretty obvious it's a gift that we should all desire and pursue. This is why Paul, I believe, says this in 1 Corinthians 14. First, let's look at verse 18. Paul says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." He's not doing a nah, look at me, I'm so much better than you. That's not what he's trying to do here. He's trying to make a point to the church, saying, I get it, man, you like tongues, but I do it too. I'm not trying to discourage it, I'm trying to encourage it. I'm trying to let you know how to do it the right way, as we talked about, the orderly way that we talked about last week as we went through all of the 40 verses of chapter 14 in one sermon, only by the grace of God, and got out of here on time. Wow. Paul says, look, tongues is so amazing, and I thank God that I speak more than all of you. I thank God that I use it all the time. And then he said this, though, just a few verses earlier. He said, and I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Why? Why is he wanting every believer to speak in tongues? Because it edifies us. It takes our prayer to a new place. It enhances our prayer, and it's good for us. It builds us up. That's why Paul wants every believer to grab hold of this gift and to walk in it. And I want to just stop for a moment and say this. God gives these gifts as He wills. Our role is just to eagerly desire them and to go after them. When we start trying to judge what God wants to do or not do based on when we get something or how we get something or what it looks like, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. Our role is not to compare ourselves to others around us. It's not to judge God based on what gifts we're getting and when we're getting. Our role, simply, that the Apostle Paul has said in these three chapters, is to eagerly desire, to pursue, to want these things that God has for us, and to be willing to receive them and to cooperate with Him in it, and ultimately why to enjoy them and to be built up. So if you've ever had any feeling of condemnation and maybe a reason that you've kind of stiff-armed the gifts of the Holy Spirit, maybe even specifically tongues, is because you felt some kind of condemnation or shame that, man, you've wanted it before in the past but didn't get it the way or when you thought you should get it, and you're still in that season of eagerly desiring, I want to say that there is one who's the accuser of the brethren, and it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not the Holy Spirit. It's Satan himself who's bringing that upon you. You just walk in the confidence and the love of the Lord and eagerly desire the things that He says to desire and quickly shun and push away the things He says to hate and to get away from. And you just walk with Him faithfully in that way, and you will see the loving God of this universe pour out His Spirit on you in just the right time, in just the right way, because God is perfect. He's perfect. And so tongues, it enhances our prayer life, use number one. But it also is a vehicle for delivering prophetic words. That's the second use that we're going to look at today. It's a vehicle for delivering prophetic words. It says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 14, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Now check this out. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the whole church may be edified. And as we studied 1 Corinthians 14, we understand why prophecy is more effective in a public gathering. It's because everyone can be edified because everyone can understand that. Now we're seeing the interpretation of tongues being equated with a prophetic word. An interpretation of a tongue now is a word in the language of the people that explains the language of the Spirit that just came forth. And so what we're discovering is that an interpretation of tongues is actually a prophetic word that's coming forth that was started or precipitated by a tongue. So a prophetic word can be used or ushered in by the Lord using tongues as an initial delivery method. The gift of interpretation is much like the gift of prophecy. So this isn't always the way God chooses to do things. How many of you like to put God in a box? Don't raise your hand. Because I'm sure every one of us in some area of our lives would have to raise our hands if we're honest. We like to put God in a box too often. We got to resist that. And so God is going to operate the way He's going to operate. It's just the way He's going to be. He's going to do it His way. And that's what we ultimately want. And He's going to apportion these gifts. And He's going to speak to His church the way He wants to speak to His church. And sometimes it's just a direct prophetic word. And sometimes He wants to go through this mysterious thing called a tongue and an interpretation to bring that prophetic word to His church. I want to just give a real world example of this. Let's say somebody came up here, and I really was wanting somebody to have a tongue. I was praying for it this week, but God will bring it at the right time. Let's say somebody comes up here, and they have a tongue. They share with the elder at the back, I've got a tongue, and the elder will ask them, well, do you have an interpretation for that? And let's say they go, no, I don't. And the elder will say to them, well, before we get up there, why don't you pray and ask the Lord for the interpretation? But if you don't get it, just let me know you don't have it. And we'll still have you bring the tongue. And so then they'll come, they'll bring the tongue, and the elder will say, now, does anybody have the interpretation? If you do, by the way, we just figured this all out on Tuesday in an elders meeting as we're talking more and more about this, right? Seeking the Lord on how to do this the right way, in a way of freedom, but also order. If you have an interpretation, go share it with Pastor Eric, and then we'll bring the interpretation. Now that interpretation comes, and the interpretation is a prophetic word. But check this out. Maybe you came to church that day and you felt the Lord was giving you a word for the church that would build up the body of Christ. But you're sitting there in your chair going, I just don't know if it's from God. I don't know if I'm supposed to bring it. I'm a little fearful to bring it and I don't want to be out of order. But then all of a sudden somebody steps up in faith and in courage and brings a tongue. Could that be the Holy Spirit prodding you and encouraging you and verifying that he truly has spoken something to you that he wants you to share with the whole church? And that word that he gave you is actually the interpretation of that tongue, and that tongue was the encouragement for you to bring that word. I'm just talking openly as I read God's word, as I look at this, as I look at how God may operate in a church gathering. I throw that out there for a, maybe that's what God could be doing. Stir you up a little bit, encourage you a little bit. Let's look at the third use of the exciting gift of tongues, though. Tongues can also be an instrument of praise and worship. Hallelujah! Praise and worship. We see the Apostle Paul encouraging the church to pray in the Spirit. However, he also, in Scripture, encourages the church to sing in the Spirit. Give thanksgiving in the Spirit. Check this out, 1 Corinthians 14, beginning of verse 15. So what shall I do? Now that's a question, meaning, should I use the gift of prophecy or should I use the gift of tongues? Paul says, so what should I do? He says this, I will pray with my spirit, that's tongues. He'll pray in tongues. He's going to do that because it edifies him and it's good and it's a gift from God. And then he says, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, singing with what? In tongues, right? He'll sing with his spirit in tongues, but I will also sing with my mind. And then it says in verse 16, if you are praising God with your spirit, that's tongues, right? How can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. So what we're seeing in this passage is that there is a praying in the spirit, which is a communing and communicating with God through the Spirit, not through our natural language or mind even, but through the Spirit. But there's also a singing that can happen and is supposed to be happening in the Spirit. It's a gift that we have to engage with God in praise and worship, not directed by our mind, but directed by the Spirit. It's a whole new realm of praise and thanksgiving. It's good for people like me who can't remember the words, by the way, also. You know what I'm saying? If I'm singing in the Spirit, I don't know the words anyway. I don't even know what I'm singing. It's just the Spirit that's singing through me, and I don't have to worry that I miss the words and whatever. So it's good for those of us who miss the words. Now, how does this work? There are times when we know in our minds what we need to pray or sing to the Lord, right? You know often what you need to pray. And it's usually those things where you're just on your knees going, oh, God, forgive me, and oh, God, I need help in this area. And, oh, God, help my husband because he's... No, anyway. You know what to pray in your mind. However, there are other times when we feel the burden to pray, to cry out to God, to commune with him, but we don't know what to say. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to do it. We just know we've got to get with God and we've got to communicate with him and we've got to hear from him and we've got to be in his presence, but we have no idea how to get there. We have no idea what to say. Now what do we do? Does God leave us hanging? He doesn't leave us hanging. He's given us a gift so that we can break through in those moments instead of walking away from him disappointed and broken and empty, that we can push through in the Spirit and we can engage with him in prayer. We can push into him in prayer. It says in Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And it says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with what? With groans. Not with words that we understand, but with groans that words cannot express. We don't know how to express it. We don't know what to say to God. We just know that if we don't get with God right now, that man, all hell is breaking loose. The wheels are falling off of our life and we are desperate for him and we need a breakthrough. And so we come to him and the Lord says that you can pray in the Spirit and groanings can come out of you and you can commune with God. You don't have to know what to say, what to do. The Spirit working in us and through us. The Spirit gives us words. It works this way in praise and worship also. Man, we want to praise God. I want to worship him. But I don't know how to go to the next level. I don't know what to do right now. Been singing the same chorus day in and day out. Tongues allows our worship life, just like our prayer life, to go to a whole nother level. Tongues allows us to sing the songs of heaven, to sing the words and the choruses that we've maybe even never heard before, to declare things to the King of Kings, to give Him thanks in a way that we don't even, in our natural sense, even in our regenerated sense, even at the process of sanctification, we're not really even there to be able to go to that level of thanksgiving and praise yet. But the Spirit allows us to go to a whole nother level in praise and in thanksgiving. It's a gift for us. It's a gift that's worth desiring and seeking. I want to jump into use number 4. How many of you are already excited about tongues? I mean, you already see the value. I mean, just in the communing with God at a deeper level. It's worth pursuing. I mean, so many people pursue riches all of their lives. They'll put everything else aside. They'll go spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day to get a paycheck, to buy a new vehicle, to go on vacation. Man, they'll just pour their lives into something like that that's so temporary and fleeting. And the Holy Spirit has a gift for us to pursue that will actually allow us to commune with God at a much deeper level that will fill us like nothing else in this world even comes close to doing. Pursue it. Get excited. Go after it. Number 4, tongues is also a tool for evangelism. We're going to jump into Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. Tongues used as a tool for evangelism. All the saints were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in tongues, it says in Acts chapter 2. And the people in Jerusalem, many could even understand some of these foreign languages that were being spoken. They're like, wow, they're speaking my language. How are they able to do that? This is impossible. This is amazing. And they're speaking and declaring things in tongues. And then Peter stands up and he delivers the word of the Lord to the people in the language that the people could understand. He delivers the word of the Lord. I look at that as a tongue and an interpretation. I really do. They were out speaking in tongues. People were getting attracted by that, even understanding some of that. But then Peter, I believe, brings the interpretation of what everybody was declaring through the Holy Spirit. He brings the prophetic word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter prophesied, and he said in Acts 2:37, when the people heard this, what Peter said, when they heard the word of God, when they heard the prophetic word declaring Jesus Christ, it says they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What do we do now after hearing this? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then he says something interesting, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, they had just seen physical evidence of the gift of the Spirit at work through tongues and prophecy. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's jump back. Where did this start? It started in upper room as they were waiting, eagerly desiring the gift of the Holy Spirit. They weren't out busy doing their stuff and just checking in every once in a while, popping in for an hour here or there. Anything happening yet? Nope. I guess it's not maybe real or it's not going to happen. Or no, they were pressing in, eagerly desiring this gift that Christ told them is for them, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit showed up, he blew the windows out of that place. He came down as tongues of fire on that church, on those people who were eagerly desiring. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of the gifts of the Spirit began to come out of them. And the result of that was their community was transformed. And 3,000 people were added to the church in that day. The gift of tongues being used, part of the equation for incredible evangelism in our world today. We don't usually put it together that way. But God's word made a point of highlighting that to us right here in Acts chapter 2. Another amazing use of the gift of tongues. But we got to use it. We got to learn how to use it. I want to tell a story I just heard yesterday, so hopefully it'll be able to come out of me in an understandable way. It goes like this. There's a dad who's wanting to teach his son how to bat. His son really is excited about playing baseball. And so he puts his son, he tells him to go up to home plate and to get ready to hit the ball as he's going to kind of gently pitch him the ball. And so the son runs up to home plate, and we'll just pretend that this podium is home plate. And he runs up to home plate, and you would think that he would stand right here, right? Well, no, he comes up to home plate, stands right behind it, facing the pitcher with his bat in his hand like that, and he's like, okay, Dad, I'm ready. And his dad's like, son, I need to show you the right way. That's not going to be an effective way of batting. It's not going to have good results if you stand that way. Yes, you may be able to hit the ball, but you could also get hurt in the process, and the ball's not going to go very far. So he comes up to his son, and he positions him over here on the side of the plate, right? Spreads his legs just the right way, shows him how to hold the bat in his hand, tells him to get that right elbow up. And the son's like, Dad, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right. And as soon as his dad lets go, his son moves back to right behind the plate, holding the bat in his hand, ready to swat at that thing up and down like that. And the dad's like, son, listen, I really want to teach you everything I know. And what I'm teaching you here is really going to help you. I know that it may feel awkward. I know that it may seem a little strange to you. But this is really what you need to do to be successful at this. And I want you to be all that you can be. I want you to enjoy playing ball. And so he positions them again. He gets them all set. Here's the point. The Lord is instructing us in his word how to bat. He's instructing us how to hit the home run. He's instructing us how to get on base. He's showing us how to walk out this Christian life that we have now been saved into through Christ. He's showing us how to engage in the things of the kingdom and how to walk in the victory and in the freedom that he's given each one of us through Jesus. And sometimes it feels awkward. Sometimes it just doesn't feel right. It's like when somebody was teaching me the correct golf swing. I still don't do it right. I still rebelled against the instructor on that. And so to this day, I still slice the ball a little bit. My bad. I didn't listen to the instructor. The Lord is encouraging us. Trust him as he instructs us in these things. Trust him as he gives us tools to use as his children. Let him position you in the right place. Yes, it may feel uncomfortable, but you do it for a while and it'll feel so right. And the results will be so good. He's a good father. We sang about that earlier, I believe, didn't we? The final use of tongues we're going to look at this morning is that it's a weapon of spiritual warfare. How many of you all are ready to get another weapon to battle the enemy? How many of you ever endure any kind of spiritual warfare? Seriously, raise your hands. If you're not raising your hands, I want to get to know you. You know what I'm saying? Either you need Jesus, or I don't know. Anyway, we need weapons to battle the enemy. There is an enemy. The devil really wants to take us out. He hates us. His mission is to rob, kill, and destroy. But we have the victory in Christ Jesus. But we must take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of for us. And there's still a battle. And victories come through battles. But we don't have to worry in the battle, because we're battling not on our own, but we're battling in Christ Jesus. And we're taking hold of everything that he gives us to win that battle. Now check this out. It's found in Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's real. It's happening. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So there are weapons that the Lord gives us to battle against the things and the schemes of the enemy, and the weapons that he gives us when we use them will demolish strongholds. They will be effective. They will be successful when we use the weapons of war that he gives us. So how do we wage war? How do we fight? How do we get victory? We take up the armor of God. We know about that in Ephesians 6, right? But check this out. Ephesians 6 in verse 16 says this. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Come on. And then he says something interesting. We stop. Why do we stop reading right there? We're done. We got the word and that's it. But there are more weapons. There's another weapon that the Lord has given us to fight, to break the enemy, to extinguish him, to have victory. It says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also with me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And so we know this. We know it, that the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, is a weapon that we have to use if we're going to beat down the enemy. Because the enemy is going to come after our thoughts big time. He's going to lie to us. He's going to accuse us. And we got to go to God's word for the truth. We got to go to the Word of God to think differently, to think His way, to come into agreement with His way of thinking so that we don't get taken out in our mind. We got to be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word. This is the sword of the Spirit. It's a double-edged sword, man. It pierces. It brings victory. And so we're in it. We love it. We study it. We declare it. We speak it out verbally. Speak it out when the enemy's coming after us. But we also have the weapon of praying in the Spirit, of tongues. It's right there. They're together. And we can use that weapon of praying in the Spirit and declaring things straight from heaven that we don't even have the mind and understanding that need to be declared over that situation, because we see through a glass dimly. We're not understanding all of what's happening in the spirit realm. Oh, we look for it, we desire it, we ask God to reveal it, but we don't know it all. But God does, and He gives us a way to declare with our mouths, to flatten mountains, to send the enemy fleeing. He gives us words that we can speak. Things that we can declare that can come straight out of us that will send the enemy scattering. And He does that through the Spirit. When we don't know what to pray, He gives it to us because He loves us and He has victory for us. I'm going to give you an example of this. I've shared this story years ago. You gave me the permission back then, Dave, so I'm going to share it again. Dave Caldwell and I, we were with most of our family over in California at the annual homeschool basketball tournament and tearing it up, winning, of course, taking home the gold medal. I mean, that's the way we work, right? So we were doing that. But in the process, an amazing thing happened. Hannah gave birth to Samuel. Our Hannah Brooks here gave birth to Samuel Brooks. But something happened when he came out, when he was born. He wasn't breathing. And it was a bad situation. I mean, a very dangerous, dangerous, dangerous situation. Dave got a phone call. What was going on? A lot of prayer began to go up throughout that whole hotel area. Dave and I grabbed each other, and we started walking around that hotel complex. And we started praying in the Spirit. And Dave picked up some pieces of wood that represented arrows. And we started walking around praying in the Spirit. Man, we didn't know what to pray. We prayed about 30 seconds of what we knew what to pray. But we knew this was a battle, not of flesh and blood, but this was a battle in the heavenlies for the life of this little boy, Samuel. And we just started walking around that hotel area, praying in the Spirit, declaring in the Spirit. And we took those pieces of wood, those sticks that represented arrows, fiery darts from the enemy. And we were praying in the Spirit and breaking those things and casting them on the ground. And praying in the Spirit and breaking those sticks and casting them on the ground. And we were praying and doing war in the heavenlies for that little boy. We didn't know what else to do. We're in California. He's here in Arizona. What else do we have to do? We pray what we know. But the battle is raging. And we need to engage it. And the Lord has given us a tool to do that. Those fiery darts of the devil that wanted to bring death, they were broken. They were dismantled. And that little boy Samuel is alive today. A great little whippersnapper. Loves his parents. Going after Jesus. Praise God. We can live the Christian life without engaging with the gifts of the Spirit. We can. This isn't about salvation. Believers were doing this in the early church. You know, they'd go out, Paul would minister, and he'd be, oh man, you haven't been baptized in the Spirit yet. Yeah, they were baptized in Christ, water baptized. They were Christians, they were believers. Saved, justified, being sanctified, going to be glorified. They're missing out on something. And there are others today that are doing life today as believers, but not engaging with the gifts of the Spirit and all that God has, all the tools that He has for us. And the Lord isn't trying to push you into anything. He's not trying to shame you. He's just wanting to encourage you right now to go after the more. He's gentle. He didn't push salvation on you. He just offered it freely. You received it and you're experiencing the benefits of salvation in Christ Jesus. You're experiencing freedom in Christ Jesus. You're experiencing the grace of God that you didn't merit or deserve. You're experiencing it at work in your life. And you just came into agreement with Christ and received that free gift of salvation. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm a gentleman too. And I've got more gifts for you. And they're available to you when you're ready. Receive them. And I'll give them to you. And you will enjoy them. It's like this. Let's say that you needed to travel across country. There's a couple ways you could get there. Well, there's several, but one way is you could walk. Here's an example of a guy who ran across the country, right? Run, Forrest, run! Run, Forrest! That's a hard way to get from A to B. It's a hard way, but look at the other way that you could take. You can get on an airplane. It's a little bit easier. Get from one side of the country to the other side that way. God has given us these gifts so that we can take off, so that we can thrive, so that we can see His kingdom come in greater ways in our lives. He has more for us as His church. There's so much that I don't get yet, that I don't understand. There's so many things that He has for my life that I know I haven't even grabbed hold of yet. But I want to. I'm desiring all that He has for me. Jesus said this in Mark 16, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:5, I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues. At the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, therefore, brothers, eagerly desire to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking in tongues. Tongues isn't a litmus test for being filled with the Spirit. It's definitely not a litmus test of whether we're saved or not. Not at all. Don't even go there in your mind. Don't hear what God's not saying, what we're not saying here today either. But God does have gifts for us. Our role is just to desire it. Step into it. Try it. Practice it. Grow in it. Be around others who are using the gifts and enjoy the gifts that God has for us. We've unwrapped the gifts of the Spirit. How about that? Now I want to encourage every one of us to use them. To use them. We're going to be launching into a couple messages here in the next few weeks that are going to be life-giving and transformational to everyone in here. We'll be talking about forgiveness. We're going to be talking about some things with relationships and relating with one another. And then we're going to launch into a study right out of Hebrews chapter 11. So if you want to be spending some time and diving into Hebrews 11 and reading all about the amazing heroes of faith and getting into that in preparation for where God is taking us as a church family, I encourage you to do that. I want to ask you to stand up at this time, though. Now, if you're comfortable with this, you can raise your hands just as a way of surrender to the Lord and opening yourself to Him. If you're comfortable praying along with me, let's join together. Holy Spirit, You are God, and You are good. Thank You for making Your dwelling within me, for making me Your temple. You are gentle, and You are kind. And so I invite You, and I ask You, and I desire that You would pour Yourself into me in full measure. Baptize me in You, Holy Spirit, and release Your gifts in me as You see fit, so that Jesus would be glorified and my church family would be built up. I ask this humbly, in faith, and in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I encourage you can pray that as often as you want, as you eagerly desire all that God has for you. It's not crazy or weird. It's natural. It's God. It's good. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. And may you get excited about the things of the kingdom of God this week as you go out and be the church. The world needs who you are and what you have.